this past week, three St. John's youth and three St. John's adults traveled to Winston-Salem to participate for the fifth year in a service learning program called Spark Dwell. As you know, this involves spending time with and working alongside of members of an ELCA Lutheran congregation there called The Dwelling. A unique congregation in that it is almost completely comprised of church members who live in poverty. The power of this program is that it allows our youth to participate in the cause-driven serving, learning projects that Spark organizes, not just doing things for people in poverty, but rather working with people in poverty to do things in their community. And this difference, this working with people in poverty, getting to know them, their stories, allows us to see them not as problems to be solved, but as people, as children of God, disciples together with us. I want to tell you again that this truly is transformative for the young people from all over the country who participate. And I thank you for making this experience possible through your generosity as a congregation. So now I want to turn to the parable that Jesus shares in today's gospel reading from Luke, the story that he tells. A man who has a friend who arrives at midnight. Now, the problem is not the friend's late arrival. The problem is that the host was unprepared. He has nothing to serve his friend. Remember, in the Middle East, both then and now, hospitality is a matter of great honor. Generosity toward guests is a deeply ingrained and even sacred cultural duty. Not being able to meet his hospitality obligation of placing bread before this friend who has just arrived is a major failing on his part. So what does he do? He goes to the home of another friend nearby asking for a few loaves. For the second friend, the late hour is a problem. He responds to the rap at his door saying, "Shh, don't bother me. The door's locked. The kids are already in bed with me. If I get up and give you anything, it'll disturb the whole family." That's certainly understandable. Once you get the kids asleep, you want them to stay asleep. But the host, who's in a bind, desperately needing bread, keeps on knocking on and on until finally his persistence pays off. The friend climbs out of bed, hands over the bread, just so he can get back to sleep. And that's the end of the parable, which of course leads to the question, what does that mean? First thought is that it might mean, as parables often do, the kingdom is like what happens in the story. Right? We know parables like that. Some even start that way. The kingdom is like. So if that's what's happening in this parable, then what Jesus is saying is this. As on earth, a friend helps his friend just to get rid of him so he can go back to sleep, so also in God's kingdom, God will help you to get you off of God's back. In other words, persistence in prayer pays off because a reluctant God, eventually, you can wear him down. Well, that's not really a comforting thought, is it? And it really doesn't square with the God whom Jesus proclaims in his teaching and the way he lives. And yet sometimes, probably without meaning it, we actually sort of lean that way. I'm sure you've heard a person in despair, affected by some tragedy in their family, offer words that portray God this way. If only I had prayed more. If only I had prayed harder. Maybe God would have responded. Perhaps you've heard someone facing a difficult health scare say, the more prayers, the better. Which on the one hand is true. Knowing more people are praying for you means a lot in a time of trouble. But does it mean we believe the more who are praying, the more likely God is to answer? As if the more people who are pestering God, the more likely God will give in? I don't think so. But sometimes we fall into that. So maybe this parable, instead of being the kingdom is like parable, maybe this one, like some others, is a parable that offers comparison, contrast. Take a look at the verses which follow right after the parable. They do seem to lead in that direction. Jesus said, so I tell you, ask and you will receive. For just as an earthly father or mother gives good gifts to their children, how much more will our heavenly Father give good gifts? See, maybe in the parable, rather than Jesus saying, persistence to the point of annoyance is how prayer works, maybe instead he means, hey, look, if on earth a friend will help another friend, even when they're a bit reluctant and need a bit of pushing, then how much more would your heavenly Father, who is not reluctant, but rather willing and eager, how much more will God provide for you? If we can trust that a reluctant friend will come through when you need them, can we not trust then all the more that God will help? Remember at the beginning of the reading, just before the parable, Jesus offered teaching about how to pray, and he encouraged us to begin by addressing God as Father. Jesus teaches us to see God as a loving parent. Surely we can trust God, who is like a loving parent, to help us even more than we can trust a friend. Jesus emphasizes this point again at the end of today's reading. If a child asks a loving parent for a fish, would they give a snake? If they ask for an egg, would they give a scorpion? Of course not. No loving parent would do such a thing. So you can trust that God, more loving even than a loving parent, will care for you. Altogether, then, it seems this parable of the friend at midnight does not mean that prayer works because we can annoy God, or that if we pray hard enough or long enough or get enough voices to join in, we can wear God down. No. Prayer works, Jesus is saying, because God wants to help and love and care for us. Which, of course, leads to one more point. Maybe for me, the main point. Maybe this parable, maybe this whole scripture passage is actually telling us that prayer, despite the fact that the man in the story asked for bread, maybe this prayer is not really about getting what we want. Maybe in a roundabout way, this story about a fella getting bread from his neighbor by annoying him into it is telling us that what prayer is really about is persistently expressing that we trust God, that we know God cares, that we believe God is present with us in all things. Maybe prayer is more about leaning in persistently into trusting God to guide us into wisdom, to guide us into comfort and strength, to guide us into faithful discipleship. Maybe prayer's about learning to trust that God works in all the things to care for us. That even in the horrible things that happen, for all kinds of horrible reasons, God is there, supporting us, loving us, holding on to us as we go through it. Maybe prayer is about trusting not that God will fix everything or give us everything, but that God will bring new life to us even when we're surrounded with pain, suffering, even death. If you will give good gifts to your children, how much more, Jesus says, how much more will God, who loves you so much, give you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Spirit of mercy and love and grace? That's the gift that's offered through prayer, Jesus says. Friends, that's good news. Good news indeed. So now I want to circle back to the dwelling, to the gift of spending time shoulder to shoulder, working as disciples together with people who live in poverty, learning to see those who have fewer things, less worldly power, no prestige, learning to see them as children of God, disciples with me. Do you know what about this experience has deepened my faith? It's seeing how the members of that congregation, how they see that God answering prayer is not really rooted in getting the things we want or worldly fixes. That prayer, answered prayer, is connected to God being present with them in community, in an outpouring of grace, in an outpouring of love, in disciples together, building beloved community filled with compassion and hope and joy in the midst of life that is hard. Do the members of the dwelling pray for things, for homes, for jobs, for needed funds? Do they give thanks to God when they receive these blessings? I'm sure that they do. But when they fail to find those things, do they lose their trust in God? From what I have experienced, I give a resounding no, they do not. They're more likely to say, oh, well, I didn't get that job. Oh, well, I didn't get that apartment. Oh, well, I'll try again tomorrow. I will survive without those things because God is still good. Because I still have my church. I still have my friends. I still have my hope and my joy. I still have the community that God has given me. I still have all the things that I prayed for. Ask and you will receive, Jesus said. Ask for the things of life and you will receive them because God is love. Because you are God's beloved. Amen.